From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. The death toll continues to climb from two powerful earthquakes in Indonesia. Officials now say more than 530 people were killed and another 400 seriously injured in the quakes. Thousands are believed to be trapped in destroyed buildings. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has been surveying the damage in the town of Padang, where more than 370 people were killed.
Scenes of devastation in the Sumatran capital of Padang, a day after a deadly earthquake struck off the coast of the island. Scores of homes and buildings have completely collapsed, burying hundreds of people beneath them. In desperation, some have tried to pull their loved ones out manually, attempting to claw them out of the rubble. But it's a race against time. This city is one of the worst affected by the powerful tremors. Rescue teams have been working around the clock, but the worry is that time is running out.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani in Padang. U.S. diplomats sat across the table from Iranian delegates in Switzerland today. They met on the sidelines of seven-nation talks in Geneva. U.N. spokesman Robert Wood says U.S. Undersecretary of State William Burns met with Tehran's chief negotiator. Details were not provided, but it's presumed the Americans and Iranians discussed whether Iran was willing to modify or stop its previously secret underground uranium enriching facility. A couple of economic reports out today present a mixed bag on the economy. Consumers spent more money in August, but much of that was spending on the Cash for Clunkers program. The Commerce Department reporting consumer spending rose 1.3% in August. Jobless claims were up slightly in the latest weekly figures, but the overall number of layoffs is slowing, as we hear from NPR's Debbie Elliott.
Layoffs have slowed but not stopped, according to the latest report on planned job cuts by the global outplacement firm Challenger, Gray & Christmas. Layoffs announced by U.S. firms fell to 66,400 in September, a 13% drop from August. The figure for the third quarter was just more than 240,000, the fewest number of layoffs since March of 2008. Government and automotive jobs saw the biggest declines, while fewer cuts were reported by retailers and the industrial goods sector. Challenger, Gray & Christmas Vice President Rick Cobb said the downward trend in planned job cut announcements is a sign that employers feel more optimistic about future business conditions. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Construction spending was up unexpectedly in August. It marked the biggest jump in housing activity in nearly 16 years. The government says construction spending rose 0.8% in August, and that's much better than the 0.2% decline analysts had expected. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrials are down 145 points to 95.66. The Nasdaq Composite Index is down 50 to 20.72. This is NPR. The head of U.S. and NATO troops warns the insurgency in Afghanistan is growing. Speaking in London, General Stanley McChrystal said neither success nor failure can be taken for granted. Larry Miller has more from London.
General McChrystal painted a picture of what he termed a difficult war in a damaged society. He insisted the problems in Afghanistan can't be simplified, that there is not a single solution. No one has it.
It's a tribal society with a culture vastly different from what most of us are familiar with. And it varies around the country. So you can't assume that what is true in one province is true in another.
In a direct response to those who want to withdraw from Afghanistan, General McChrystal warned such a strategy would create a Somalia-like haven of chaos. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Elizabeth Smart is in a Salt Lake City courtroom today, testifying about the day she was kidnapped from her bedroom some 7 years ago. She's speaking at a competency hearing for the man accused of holding her for 9 months. President Obama travels to Copenhagen tomorrow to join his wife Michelle in pitching Chicago as the best city for hosting the 2016 Olympics. They're up against Rio de Janeiro, Tokyo, and Madrid in trying to convince the International Olympic Committee that Chicago will be the perfect host city for the Games. The winner will host the world's biggest sports event and potentially make billions of dollars in business deals. Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger is back in the air with his co-pilot after the so-called miracle splash landing on the Hudson River. Sullenberger and First Officer Jeffrey Skiles piloted a flight today from Charlotte, North Carolina to New York. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.